There are some people who believe that Earth is 6,000 years old. That's it, 6,000 years old. And of course, most mainstream scientists that I know believe the planet to be 4.5 billion years old. Where do you stand in this?
Well, that's the, I guess, the core of the book. We believe that the Earth is both 7,000 years old and 4.5 billion years old.
How can it be both?
Well, because there are two Earths. One Earth is a temporal Earth that took 4.5 billion years to develop in this universe. And the other is, let's call it a spiritual Earth, or a spiritually created Earth, much like the one that's described in the second creation in Genesis. And those two Earths were brought together to make this sort of living, vibrating planet upon which we live. And that event was the arrival of Noah.
Well, now that may explain the differences between the two camps.
Well, at one point, it was a gulf. I mean, insurmountable, impassable gulf. But when we began doing the research for this book, as to the answer, you know, what about this Noah's Ark, we started to see, as we went back through one millennia after another, through ancient records, ancient observers were scientists of their day, I guess, they all made the same observation, and their symbols are all over the place. We, in the book, call it the union of the polarity. It's the construction of the Star of David. It's the construction of the Andean cross, all kinds of spirals and life forces and two-headed things and the yin and the yang. All of this pointed toward a union of a spirit earth and a temporal earth into one earth on which we live today.
That's fascinating. Okay, let's pick it up from Noah. Tell me what you believe this episode was. And of course, the Bible has its definition, and then some other people have their own.
Right. Well, I guess you could begin in Genesis, in the first creation series. If you just read it for what it is, without interpretation, without lectern thumping or yelling or screaming or damnation, what you see is basically a water planet upon which God moved his spirit and divided the water planet into two water planets and then put heaven in between them. And then separated the dry land from the water, and then on the third day gave it a sun and a moon to govern its time. Well, somewhere in the two first periods of development, this did not turn into a frozen ball. It moved from where it was created to where it now exists. And what I tried to do as a physicist, cosmologically speaking, trying to figure out some mechanism by which you could move a planet from where it was created, let's say in the center of our galaxy, to where it now rests in orbit around this main sequence sun without freezing it. In other words, it's got to move in a fairly good amount of time without turning into a frozen ball, and it's got to carry Noah and all of his ancestors intact to this planet. So the answer was in spinning black holes. Now, there's been a lot of research done on this, although not directly, mathematically speaking, or through what we call perturbation theories.
You think then the entire planet, Earth, somehow went through a black hole to arrive at its present location?
Yes.
That's a fascinating thing. Now, this is a first, Brooks.
Well, see, when a black hole spins, and they all do, because they're just the I guess the end life cycle of a collapsing star. If you look through a solar telescope at our sun, for instance, you'll see it rotating. You'll see a sunspot traveling across the face of the sun to give you evidence that our sun is rotating on its axis. But at the end of our sun's life, when its fuel is exhausted, it will begin to cool and to shrink. And as it shrinks, by conservation of momentum, it will spin faster and faster and faster. And if our sun was large enough, say about 50 times its current mass, it would not only collapse past the supernova stage to a white dwarf, but it would continue to collapse to become a black hole, and that spinning would continue to increase. Now, if you spin it, it doesn't stay round. It sort of deforms like a tennis ball with a tremendous right. spin on it. It flattens out. Now, if you look at it from the edge, it looks like a ring of death. You know, it's light cannot escape it. If your planet goes into it, you're going to be tidally distended like you see in the movies. Sort of the front part of your ship is torn apart, and then the center part, and then the end part, and you're no longer recognizable. But if you look at this sort of like a large donut, and the diameter of the hole in the donut is, say, the distance across our solar system, then what you have is a center of this black hole that is tremendously warping space-time. But there's no mass in it. All the mass is in the outer ring. So a planet could pass from one point in the universe to another point in the universe, or from one universe to another universe, without being destroyed.
All right, now, are you saying that it was just Earth that did this, or our entire solar system?
Well, for the purposes of our book, we just stick with Earth.
Okay, all right.
Earth is different enough from the other planets in our solar system, well, different enough from our own moon. Earth is made of primarily iron and nickel, which is pretty stable, and the moon is made of primarily aluminum and titanium. So they could not have coalesced from the same homogeneous cloud of dust.
Give me sort of, if you can, Dr. Agnew, a scientific picture, if you want to paint this for us, of what's happening. Earth is in some other section of the galaxy. It somehow finds its way into this spinning black hole. Tell us what happens then.
Well, relative to the people that are on that Earth, a short amount of time passes, a short amount of distance occurs. But relative to someone, say, outside that field, or say on the other side of the black hole, they would see a planet moving across immeasurable distances of space and time in an instant. So the beings, Noah's people, that lived on that Earth, living 800, 900, 1,000 years, then blend with sort of, if you want to call it a different phase, or if you want to call it like a water droplet swallowing up a dust ball, it blends with this temporal Earth and the race of men that are on this Earth. Now, of course, it's cataclysmic. A lot of people on both worlds are destroyed, but some survive. And then the two races and all the ecology that's with it, the animals in the sea and in the air, all have to find a new ecology.